Welcome to Riding the Waves of Life, a Boundy Family Services podcast.
Beata, you are a mother of four beautiful children.
Well, thanks.
And we are here today to talk about parenting, what we wish people would have told us before we became parents, and things that we would like new parents to know getting into it that you think would be useful information. Yeah, and anything in between too, though, stories you feel like you need to tell.
It's funny because if you would have asked me this at like child number one or two, I probably would have talked your ear off about stories. But something about after I had my fourth made me realize that talking less was better. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know it all. I don't know as much as I did my first kid. I definitely don't know as much as I thought I did then.
What about the information that you did know with your first child, though? Because I really like how you said that. You don't know as much as you did with your first child.
Because we all, every first-time parent knows everything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say that, no one's seeing my air quotes, but how should I put it? That cape around your neck, super, right. you know, you know it all. All the things you swore you'd never do when you had kids, or that you would do, or how your kid would be like. I sit here humbly.
Right.
I've been thoroughly humbled. Smack on my forehead. I've been humbled, realizing that, no, either a lot of that stuff didn't matter,
right.
Or a lot of that stuff isn't how it goes for each kid. And sometimes you just got to shut up and watch listen. And your answers will come from that moment, too. And that sounds so hokey pokey, but I swear to God it's right.
Well, it gives you a moment to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think that I wouldn't have those moments having four kids, but and that's why it's important to create those moments. Mm-hmm. You really have to stop and just either watch the chaos unfold and figure things out in those moments. Stop trying to figure out beforehand, because that's where I feel truly in my heart, that's where anxiety comes from, is trying to create things that haven't happened.
Oh, definitely.
Or to control things that haven't happened.
That's anxiety's favorite thing to do.
It absolutely is. Yes. I suffer with an anxiety disorder. Coming from kind of mental health advocate standpoint here in what I wish people would have told me was, prior to having kids, was less about the dirty diapers and the sleepless nights and more about what children would bring out and how it would affect my mental health.
Right.
How much I would be working on myself as a person rather than, and on top of the mothering.
Yeah. Well, parenthood is hard these days because of that.
Oh, I mean,
right?
I don't know where to begin with this or what avenue to take. I was raised by an older generation. My grandparents raised me, and I often wonder to myself, when did they have the time to go through a very different lifestyle than we did, very different life events than we did, and raise our parents or us.
Yeah.
You know, when did they have the time to work on their mental health? Because I sometimes almost felt shame around me taking the time to get therapy,
right,
or taking some me time to sort my oats. And parents didn't do that. Well, maybe that's why I'm having to sit here and work my stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you're not the only parent, too. That's something that's more and more happening these days, is that because the previous generation had different parenting techniques, were taught different parenting techniques. And then
suck it up. Suck it up.
And good emotions and bad emotions, not instead of just all of them are important. And never taking blame for anything as an adult, because you have to always be
totally
right.
And one of the biggest things, Mel, that I did know, and I stuck to my guns on this, was being able to say sorry to my child when I screwed up.
Yeah.
Or when I was legitimately wrong on something, because that was something that I never experienced as a child. Was the pride was too strong in that one to get a I'm sorry for how I behaved, or I'm sorry I was wrong.
Right.
And that, it's funny, every time I freak out or I have a not so shiny moment in my parenting repertoire, I cry every time I say sorry to my kids. Mm-hmm. And it's a good cry, I think, because I feel like it's healing something.
Yeah.
Every time I say sorry, it's like I'm saying sorry to myself.
Right. That's beautiful.
And I found myself telling this to someone recently that hasn't had kids yet and that told me, you know, oh, it's on the, you know, it's coming up. That's exactly what I told them is start your therapy now.
Right.
Get used to taking time for yourself now. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not even something you can comprehend before it happens. Just like sleep deprivation. You don't understand what that is until you've actually in it. Yeah. But if I could truly give, especially someone that's had any trauma in their past, struggles with depression or anxiety or addictions, mm-hmm. be prepared for this to get a little shakedown. Yeah. Don't be scared, but be prepared.
Yeah.
Like set yourself up for success.
Mm-hmm. Give yourself that chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Give yourself the chance. And if it doesn't happen, what a blessing. That yes, that's good.
But you were ready.
But you're ready. You never want to be blindsided in a battle, right?
No. Well, and that's part of anxiety, being prepared. But also on the other hand, anxiety is there for that reason to actually, you know, be prepared for those things. So if you're doing it in a calm aspect instead of in the aspect of you're in the middle of the storm and you don't know what to do.
Yeah. I love that analogy of like meeting a bear in the woods.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
you know, yes, but you typically are going to walk with some bear spray, I would hope. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And I remember there was a speaker that once told me, children are the best at showing us our own immaturities.
Oh, I love that.
And so that's part of parenting, right? Is children allow you to see inside of yourself who you are more than you ever knew in the beginning. And so it's nobody tells you this, right? No. And some people choose to not even go down that road and that's their choice. But a lot of parenting these days is figuring out, oh, who am I? How do I want to parent? What are my values?
Yeah.
How do I react when I am sleep deprived and none of my needs are being met? What person am I going to be in those moments? And how do I help myself know who I want to be?
You're so right. And once again, that's even crossing a threshold into us not even having a clue. What kind of person am I going to be? Holy man, I would like to think that I'd be Mary freaking Poppins.
Oh,
but,
I know, right?
But I'm not.
No.
And even if, and I extend this to parents who know, or, you know, people who know that they're going to be parents of multiple kids, even if you get through the first one and you think, well, this is gravy, subsequently, you could get a kid that throws you for a loop. And this, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in one that will bring out those, I hate saying like imperfections, but those things that you feel need a bit of work in yourself, or, you know, just a kid who's digging his heels in the dirt, or I say his because you don't think I'm working with one of those right now. Holy moly. My third. Yes. I, you know, you get to your second, your third, your fourth, your fifth and go, oh my gosh, my other ones weren't like this. What the heck is going on? And yeah, you're faced with a revamping of yourself and a revamp of like how you parent.
Yeah. Because you're right. Each kid is so different.
Yeah. And that's hard to learn new things.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
let's lay it all out. It's hard, especially as we get older or we are set in our ways for how these other kids were parented. They responded well to this. Why isn't it working for this one?
Right. Yes.
And it throws you for a loop.
It does. Yeah. And trying to do it in the middle of parenting.
While you're trying to parent these other kids these other ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, you almost feel like you're pulled in so many different directions and you have to be these different, like, I have to be a different mom to different kids.
Right.
And I know that that can be so draining on the heart when a kid goes, you know, why do you treat them that way? Or, you know, so, and then now you're going back to your childhood of, well, I was treated differently. See what I mean? Like, it's like, it's this kind of ladder that you climb up and down, and my just without getting too taken away, I just truly want to extend the don't feel shame, don't feel afraid
right
to go out and start looking for a counselor or looking for a good group or accessing the groups that that are being facilitated in our in your community that touch on mental health.
Yeah.
They help.
And that's it's been such a taboo topic for so long and people are talking about it more now.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah, because it's something that lots of people and lots of parents and lots of caregivers do suffer from, and to suffer alone is not fair.
No.
And the knowledge that others are going through some of the same stuff as you can be feel really good and supportive.
Well, and you know, in my recent experience, so my kids are 8, 6, 3, and 1, well, 18 months. And throughout having my children, I've had dips and highs with my mental health, whether that's because of hormones and everything above, tick whatever box you want. I hit a spot in recent years that I didn't think I was capable of hitting. I thought that that life, that part of my life was left behind me. And instead of getting lost in shame because of it, I pulled my resources close and I pulled my friends close and my family. And I said, this is what's going on and I need you to not judge me. I just need you to be there. And everyone, I mean, obviously everyone was like, yes, we're here for you. Yeah. What do you need? But just the narrative change of,
right,
I'm a bad person. I can't believe I did this. Oh my God, I can't get my beep together. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. But the switching it to, yeah, I screwed up and I need you.
Yeah.
Lifted that out faster than I ever have seen in my history of struggles.
Allowing yourself grace.
The grace. Guilt. Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you almost think because you're a parent, you shouldn't open. I was very scared. I was very scared to be vulnerable because I instantly thought, well, what about my kids? What about, what are people going to think? What are of they? Da, 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 yeah. Oh my God, I don't want it. But that's not how it was received.
Yeah. Which is beautiful.
Everyone wants to, I mean, the good people in your life should want to see you in success.
Yes.
And want to help you be successful.
Yes.
So make sure that you, there's advice number two, surround yourself with the right people.
Yes.
To do this.
Yes.
The
yes.
right kind of moms, the right kind of friends. And when I say right, I mean the people that lift you up, the people that don't want to see you fail, that want to be right beside you succeeding, the people that want to see you parent better and connect with you, like same values that you have. If something doesn't feel right, if something feels icky in your stomach, I mean, listen to that. Listen to your gut. Listen, if this person parents in a way that just doesn't align with you, you know, you don't have to be rude about it or mean, but just find your group. Find the people that you can be in pajamas with and messy hair and have a messy house and...
No judgment.
No judgment.
Yeah. No, you want the friends that you're not, when they're coming over, you don't like quickly clean the house.
Totally. And you feel it. It's a feeling. Yeah. It's not a thought. It's a feeling. You know that these people can walk through your door and you feel safe.
That can be hard.
It is hard. And it's taken, I mean, hey, what did I say my oldest was? 8? It's taken me 8 years of cycling through different mom friends.
Yeah.
It's a journey. If I said that it could happen easily, I'm way out in left field. It's a journey.
Yeah.
So
and your life changes as you are a parent. Mm-hmm. You become different, right? Your values change.
Yeah.
Your life changes drastically.
You just get older. Yeah. You get older. Yeah. And that, like, the natural progression of that happens. You know, I kind of hate to admit in the beginning, having kids, I kind of got caught up in the like wine o'clock,
right?
You know, like, oh, kids are so hard, better have that bottle of wine. And naturally I started realizing that it didn't fit for me.
Right.
And that's, you know, no judgment to anyone who does, but for me that also has a history of addiction, I can't live that way.
Yeah.
And how, and it be conducive to a healthy lifestyle for myself and in turn my family.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that is how someone chooses to live their life, I, out of respect for myself, need to walk away.
Yeah.
You know, and my own health and everything. So,
and like you were saying too, they can surround themselves with their people that they're comfortable doing that with, and you can surround yourself with your people that you're comfortable doing your values.
We all have different storybooks, right? Yeah. So, you know, absolutely, there's no judgment in that. At the end of the day, it's our lives. Yeah. We got to do what we have to do for ourselves.
Yeah.
And in turn, our that resonates onto our family.
Yeah.
So definitely find your group. Like I said, you change. So
Your group may change.
The group changes, but also hold some space for those that you might, you know, really care about and you don't want to see gone, but maybe they're still struggling a bit. We can hold space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in a different space at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You might come back around and they might come out of it too and you find yourselves again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember my mom said that once. She said, you know, you're friends with a certain group of people when you're young, you know, in your early 20s, mid-20s. And then as you have children, you float apart.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you go throughout your lives and whatever. And sometimes the ones that really resonated with you, you end up floating back together after you've gone through that whole middle stage of, you know, raising kids and working and all those things.
Totally.
You kind of start.
I have a friend of, you know, I'd say about 20 plus years, and it's the same thing. We'd done this floating back and forth, and, you know, I had kids before her, and we lost our, you know, bit of distance there, and then she ended up having kids, and then we had kids together, and you know, you kind of do this dance.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
It's a dance in life.
Yeah.
And here we are today, like kind of strong as ever in our friendship. And then I've had ones where I've been very close to that I don't talk to at all anymore because we just are, you know, doesn't line up.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. And giving yourself grace to be able to let that be okay.
Yeah, well, and you understand. We're in a small town.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's never any animosity in my heart about it. It's just something that, you know, hey, I can say hi and we can get along in the grocery store, but
from a friend to an acquaintance. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, you know, other than that, I like there's nothing that I think people don't get told anyway about having kids and what they wish they had known.
Yeah.
It's very typical stuff and you won't know until you're there.
It's true, because everybody's parenting journey is so different too, right?
From pregnancy to birth to postpartum. I mean, if it were all the same, we could easily have that handbook.
Well, that's what I always get in my job. Yeah. It's always like, Mel, why isn't there just the one big book and just everything that you need to know? Wouldn't it be nice?
Well, yeah. And if it were like that, we would have it, but it's not. And that's why we don't have it. It's because it's not black and white.
Yeah.
And it's hard because as an experienced parent, you want to get lost in the, well, you know, in my day, that's
right.
We weren't allowed to have, you know, feed our kids until 6 months and we weren't, you know, put them on their back, put them on their front. Who knows anymore? You know, like that kind of thing. But it's also very beautiful when you watch a mom figure it out on their own. It's actually really empowering, and you would know it yourself. Like when you finally figure something out and it was on your own accord, it's transformative.
Yeah.
Rather than being told.
Being reliant on the outside information.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's why, I mean, even sometimes you just got to sit back and go, well, what do you feel?
Right.
What do you feel you should do? My encouragement is to take the reins.
Right.
Because we feel so much of it, especially in like birth, the reins are taken away from us. Let's take that back. You can figure it out. It's not hard.
Allow yourself to have confidence as a parent.
Totally.
And
all of it kind of comes into place with your tight-knit community and information and just what you feel.
Yeah. Well, you seek out your resources, you figure out, you know, that helps you figure out how you want to do it.
Totally.
And then a lot of parenting is trial and error.
It absolutely is.
And having space for those repairs when things don't go well and you're able to sit back and go, whoa, that didn't go the way I wanted it to go.
Yeah. Or that doesn't feel great for me.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try it this way.
Yeah. And even talking to your kids about that too, right? Like, oh, you know, when this happened, it didn't feel that great. How did it feel for you? Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to try something else this time. And
totally.
Yeah, having that dialogue
is
helpful in the dynamic.
It's very interesting. The more that I grow up, there's my quotes again that you all are insane. It's just so healing. It's so having these, as my kids grow up and I can start to have these conversations and it's reciprocated, it is kind of magical, you know? I remember when the kids were really young and they're still not, they don't have the reason or even the speech to talk to me or tell me how they feel. It can feel so daunting to...
Being a detective.
Well, being a detective and like trying to talk to them and explain things and they just don't get it or they're screaming and you're like getting totally tapped out with the sensory overload or whatever it is. As they get older, you start to get this like glimpse of hope. And I know I've had many instances with my firstborn who's kind of, you know, firstborn's always the learning child.
Yeah.
Where you can sit down and go, you know what, kid? Like, that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucked for both of us.
Yeah.
And she actually can get it and go, like,
talks about it.
But even if you're not looking for the remorse from her, the fact that she goes, you know, like, yeah, I'm sorry, Mom. You know, like, but and it comes from themselves.
Yeah.
It's not this, you know.
What do you say?
What do you say?
Yeah.
You know, when they start to become themselves and they're aware of their own feelings, it's magical.
Yeah, and you can see that all those years of the work
fighting
put in
the tantrum
over and over and again, and then as that connection to their cognitive brain is made, then it's like, oh, there's this human being. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Look
at
this person.
Oh, she does have feelings and she is capable of like saying them on her own. And
It is amazing. It is an amazing moment. Or when you have other people that come to you and they go, do you know what your kid said today? And it's not, at first you're like, oh my God, what did they say? But it's like, no, it's a good thing.
it's wild because I mean, like I'm kind of in this space where I have the older children and yet I still have the young tantruming babies or toddlers, I should say now. So that's where kind of the interesting transformation comes from, is that I can look at my younger ones and go, I know one day you will come to this point. But when all you know is young, you think that that's the
it.
Chaos that is.
Well, that's what you're living in every day.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I can laugh. I know I've done groups with you, Mel, and just been pulling my hair out about how do I deal with these freaking things? And I don't know how to calm down and I don't know how to, you know, like it's so high strung. And,
yes.
Let me tell you, it's still like that, but it's just different.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's a different kind of stress in a way, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. But it's so cool. It's that's what I'm getting at, is when you feel like it's never going to end and it's like level 20 out of 10, you know.
Yeah.
It does come to a point where you go, here's these little humans.
Right.
Here's this thing that can speak to me.
Yes. And we can talk about our feelings together.
Yeah.
And
wow. What a thought.
Yeah.
I don't just get screamed at anymore.
Yeah. It does happen.
It happens.
Well, that's the thing about parenting too, like you were saying, is there's different levels of stress with the different stages of parenting.
Yeah.
It's always there. I mean, and life is just like that in general, but it's a different type of stress to adjust to and also enjoy the beauty of how it is changing. And you can look back and be like, look what we accomplished together.
Yeah.
And look at this person. Now they're going to turn into, you know, a school age child and a teenager.
Yeah. And then it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Now you're going down the realm of what I do not know yet.
I know. Right. Exactly. And that is the journey of parenting that is magical, is that it is ever changing and we're ever changing and we change as human beings being parents. And just enjoying the ride when you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that someone who's just starting their journey listening to this is going to absolutely say, what a crock of whatever this is.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have said the same thing in the beginning. I would not have seen an out. I just, you can't wrap your head around older children or what it's going to be like. You can have an idea, but let me tell you, it's not how I envisioned it.
Never usually turns out the way that you have your fantasy.
So yeah. Please, for the love of all of everything, just let things be how it is. And don't have any expectations. Because expectations are hard to keep up to.
Mm-hmm.
For both of you. Yeah. For the child and for you. And especially on yourself.
Grace is so important. Because we all have that horrible voice on our shoulder that tells us all the
nasty. You got to silence that thing. You got to silence it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's easier said than done some days. But truly, what did I hear recently that... Maybe it was the right time to hear it or not, but I heard recently that like no one is judging you, you know, like if you really want to think down to it, no one cares about your house because they're not living in your house.
Yeah.
Nobody cares that much about how your children are wearing secondhand clothes or that you're driving a minivan or whatever it is. Nobody cares that much.
No.
A lot of no, not even that much. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
They may show that they may say it in a way that you think, but that's your perception.
Yes.
Know that we are all, and this is it's a good thing. We are all so self-involved that I can't, like, even I am so self-involved with my own family that I don't even have the capacity to care about how someone has their house or how someone lives or how they raise their children or what in whatever capacity. So who am I, like, don't worry about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about how, and that's how it is for so many people.
And it's hard to turn off the not worrying about outside society and judgment.
But it's so, if you look at it from actually it's funny. It's my husband. I remember him telling me this was especially when I was having my baby. He goes, nobody cares like about your birth as much as you.
Yeah.
Cause there's also that culture around how we have birth and why that's important to us. And for my first, I was wrapped around how I wanted my specific birth to be like.
And that's the one thing is birth is never predictable.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I was very humbled in that too. But taking back, I remember him saying like, no, babe, nobody cares. Yeah. And he's not saying that in the sense of like nobody cares about you, but really, you are the one and only person who cares.
This matters how this to is the out. Most.
This matters to you the most. Yeah. Don't worry. And he's saying it from the perspective of don't worry about how it's portrayed to other people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you had to have an epidural.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, truly, nobody cares.
No.
And that really did. It was like this.
Yes.
And really, I don't know when I put that jacket on that everybody, I was supposed to appease everyone's, you know, like how I was supposed to do this. It's a heavy jacket. But when I finally took that off and my shoulders came down and I, nobody cares.
No. And that's like what I tell when we talk about kids and grocery stores and restaurants.
That's a good one. That's a good
stuff
one.
Stuff like that. I always say to people, and I try myself, is nobody else around you matters. If your child's having a meltdown in a public place, it's you and your child.
Yeah.
Nobody else in that space matters. They can go about their day. It's fine.
Yeah.
All you need to do is worry about you and your kid and figuring out what's going on.
Well, and you start to kind of juggle around what works. So for me personally, I know that that's a stressful situation for me is being in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Grocery store, not so much. I can, you know, because I kind of have a trajectory there. It's like I get my food and I know I'm leaving. But restaurants, you have to wait for your food. Yeah. You got to eat your food.
Yeah.
Anyway, so restaurants for me are a very stressful situation. So I know that it's kind of depressing to say this, but I just don't go out to them anymore.
Yeah.
I don't go out until it's maybe my older kids and we have a treat together, like a date night, or my husband and I. Oh, date night. Never mind. if that ever happens, we enjoy a restaurant together. But otherwise, it's drive through or it's like order and go. Yeah. And sit at the park or sit in the van.
And
or
it's
sit,
a better memory for your kids than you being stressed out in the restaurant and they're bored.
Yes. Yeah. And I know it's not forever.
No, exactly. I remember my mom said she had four children. And she said the last time she went to a fancy restaurant was my sister and I were young. And I didn't want to take my snowsuit off because it was winter, but I was hot. But I wouldn't take my snowsuit off. And while she's trying to deal with me freaking out about my snowsuit, my sister had a hot dog on a fork and was stabbing the waitress every time she went by. And so my mom was like, that's it. McDonald's, maybe, but no, not doing this until you're older. We're done.
Stabbing the waitress.
Yeah. She didn't even notice. And then I'm flipping out on the floor all hot and not wanting to take it off. And then she looks over and there she is. Stabbing the waitress. So done.
We were in Vancouver over spring break and we took all the kids and we had wonderful time together. And I did have kind of my first experience where I was told, like, can you hush your kids?
Oh.
And I was mortified. Right. I was mortified. And luckily I had my brother and his girlfriend there. So they could kind of manage my older kids while Andrew and I like took turns taking the younger ones out. Yeah. And it's such a, like, I think maybe I'm, as a person, I recognize the need for, you know, the respect of other people and that they're enjoying their meals too. And I don't obviously intend to want to disrupt their meal. But most of the time, what I've experienced is very empathetic people and people that have come up and went, it's no big deal, or, you know, kind of shoot me the eye and the nod, like, it's okay. So out of 8 years of having children, that was my one.
The one time.
That was my one time. And I'm trying not to hone in on it because our brains like to do that little magical thing where we focus on the one bad experience.
The one negative. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying not to focus on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it did suck.
Yeah, that would suck. Was it the restaurant staff that came to you?
Yeah, it was the owner that kind of peeked his head around the corner and said, do you think we can be quieter? And I kind of went like, oh.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, then the extra stress and pressure.
Oh, yeah, gosh. And I mean, you're in the city and there's traffic and we're kind of, you know, it was such a, it was fun, but it was a bite off a little more than I wanted to chew.
Well, family vacations.
Yeah. I do take that word right out of it. No vacation at all. Family trips.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's always, parents have always said, when you go on a family vacation, you're not on vacation. You're just making memories with your children.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a beautiful thing. And your kids remember it. And it's usually good memories. I do have some of my family vacations where it's like, oh.
But you can't have them all good, I think.
No. So that's another thing about parenting is, like, if you plan on taking family vacations, it's not the storybook wonderland that they try and make it out to be. It's work.
Yeah, it is work.
But you're trying to make positive memories for your children and taking those little moments out of time when you're not so stressed to just enjoy the moment.
Yes.
Of like, here we are, we're doing this.
It started making sense to me when my kids started remembering trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mom, remember when we did this and this? It was like, oh, okay, this means something to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was worth it.
Yes. Okay. All that work was
worth it. I'll take it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But also the fact of, like you said, out of 8 years, you had one bad experience.
Yeah, truly. I don't remember another experience where I was legitimately, like, mortified about, let me reiterate. I was mortified in many occasions of taking my kids out in public, but that was the first time that it's ever been approached to me.
It was not just you putting that judgment on yourself.
Yeah, no, that was
somebody from outside.
And let me tell you, that's a great point, Mel. there are a lot of times in the store where someone would make a comment about my screaming kid, but it was never like, I never took it as being coming from a vain place, right? Like it's just, oh, someone's unhappy today, you know, something that I'm sure when you're stressed out already, that could be taken as like, hey, you know, mind your business. I think people try to make light of stressful situations for your sake to try and help. And I try to take that because I, you know, you look at it from a positive view. Yeah, they're trying to be helpful or.
And you just smile it off.
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, they'll come and like try to tickle my toddler's foot to make them laugh instead of scream. And, you know, oh, don't touch my kid or, you know, or thank you. Thanks for the distraction. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think the situation is very individual.
Oh, definitely. And I think a lot of the time, especially if there's other families around, inside their mind, they're going, oh, thank God it's not just me.
Yeah.
Right? Like we were at Ainsworth Hot Springs on family day once, and we were in the family change room, and our son didn't want to leave, and it's February, and he's freaking out, and he won't get dressed. And I just said to my husband, I went, look, just take him to the car.
Yeah.
And he's like, but he's not wearing a shirt. And I'm like, it's February. I'm like, it doesn't matter. The car is warm. Just take him to the car. And so it was full. And it's mostly families waiting to get into the hot springs. And he's just screaming. And my husband's just carrying through. And they're all looking.
Run!
Yeah. And I get the baby together and everything. And we go out to the car. And I just said to my husband, I bet you 100% of those families looked at that situation and went, oh, thank goodness it's not just me. Like, I don't think any of them were judging us at all. So don't worry about it.
Perfect. Perfect. We just had a very, like, my husband's AGM for his company. And it was this big to-do in Kelowna, tons of different workers and these fancy dinners. And I'm like, are you kidding? Family event?
Yeah.
Like, this is my nightmare.
Right.
And yeah, it was chaotic. The boys were tired. They were screaming. They wanted food now. Oh, but the buffet isn't out yet. Right. And we're walking we're bouncing and we're doing all the things. And I go back into the hotel room and I just sort of like sink my head into my hands and like, oh my God, that was just terrible. And there was a family with 8 children there. 8.
Wow.
And I remember looking over there and seeing them all sitting still. Right. Just sitting still. And I went, why? What is wrong with my children?
Right.
That they are not sitting still.
Yeah.
And then there came another dinner where, no, they were typical children.
Right.
They weren't sitting still. They were crying. They were doing all the things that my kids were doing, playing with the forks and knives and banging them on the tables. Yeah. And like, there's that sense of good.
Yeah. It's not just
good.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. So even if you see the one experience of like, oh my God, everyone's perfect and I'm not.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you it's not.
No. Oh, that's another good point of parenting is trying not to judge yourself or your children against other people and their children. Because it gets you nowhere.
No.
Because
it only hurts
different.
You.
Yeah.
It only hurts you hard. And this is hard enough.
Yeah. And it's hard not to judge because we innately, it's a human thing. We do it innately, like multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But to take that judgment in, go, what does this judgment mean? Why do I have this judgment? And then moving on.
Yeah. Move on.
Yeah.
Move on.
Because man, do parents, we do it naturally. We have our babies and immediately it was, well, what was your birth like? Oh, you birthed for that long? I birthed for this long. Oh, you had an epidural? Oh, I did it naturally. Oh, you had a C-section. And then it moves on to, well, how much does your child weigh?
Yeah.
And
it's one thing after the other.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my kid's already picking up Cheerios. Oh, my kid can't do that.
Yeah.
Is something wrong with my kid? Like,
you know, it's interesting. My fourth I had, and I already knew this. My kids were early to walk.
Yeah.
And at first that's exciting. Let me tell you, by the fourth, I was like, please no. But he proved me wrong. And I used to hear this a lot from people, but they'd go like, oh, it was always the talking. My kids never, their speech was always coming behind.
Yeah. Which is natural. It's totally natural.
Totally. But you know, they did bug me in the beginning. Yeah. And now I just say to people that they're walkers, not talkers.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's just what they are. Yeah. You know, they focus so much on the gross motor or whatever and forget about communication. And that's to my demise, because here I am needing communication. Yeah. But it's like, it's funny. Yeah. I look at that now as a funny thing.
Yeah. Well, and also I always tell people too, it's like by the time they're, you know, in grade three, you wouldn't know which ones, you know, walked first, talked first.
Totally. Do you care which one was born via C-section or not?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Between social media and just this culture of the details, that's what I like to, like, the details. The details don't matter. Just, like, nobody cares.
No.
Nobody, like, I don't. I really truly believe that. Nobody cares. So do what you got to do.
Yeah, do what works for you.
Do what works for you.
And
you know, I didn't have that sort of, like, I didn't have a mom to kind of guide me on this.
Yeah.
I had to figure a lot of it out on my own, and that was hard. And there were a lot of times where I feel like I screwed up or feel like I was going on the wrong path or, you know, I was screwing up my kids or, but I think as long as you're willing to always accept that you are a work in progress, you can be easier on yourself and know that you're working on it.
Yeah. And everybody's working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no perfect parent out there.
No.
Ever. As much as people can project that they are.
Yeah.
Or you see somebody as that too. Nobody is. Everybody has their days.
Totally.
I've been told lots. Oh, sure, Mel. Like, seriously, everybody has their days.
They really, every dog has its day.
Yeah, yeah. Their day may look different than somebody else's day, but it still feels like a day to them.
Yeah, it was a day.
Yeah, it was a day.
But yeah, that's my spiel for the day.
All right, well, thank you, Bianca.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Riding the Waves of Life is funded by the Public Health Agency of Canada and provided through Boundary Family Services. All equipment was provided by a grant from the Phoenix Foundation.